62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 26 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris, and ready to rock and roll this morning for the next couple of hours, talking sports and more here on the Big Tide, 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. We got a full control room today. We got Chase, as always, holding down the fort. Wyatt is looking in with us, and Mary from Atlanta, visiting some family in Hoover and trucking on down this morning to assist us on the show this morning. So one of our best listeners is in this morning. So we got a jam-packed show on tap for you. I'm going to run it down in just a little bit. We're not guest-heavy today, but that's going to be fine because we got a lot to discuss and a lot to get to here on the program this morning. I'll run it all down for you in just a second. But first, I want to tell you this hour, the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it's just a better way of banking. Empowering our members and enriching our community. Alabama Credit Union is more than just a financial institution. It's a member-owned community deeply rooted in rich historical values. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com or get by and see them at one of their 38 locations in the state of Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, guest-wise today, just one guest today. And it's kind of by design because I normally have a second hour guest, but I do want to do my best to play some sound yesterday from Kalen DeBoer and Ty Simpson. And so we've got the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond, coming up at 9:30. Your phone calls are welcome on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And we will have, in the second hour, as I said, an opportunity, hopefully, to get to some of this audio with Kalen DeBoer and Ty Simpson as they met yesterday with the media. We've got both coordinators meeting today. Remember now, because Alabama's playing on Friday night, everything's moved up a day, okay? Yesterday was really a Tuesday practice. Today's a Wednesday practice. Tomorrow's a Thursday practice. Then Thursday is the travel day. They'll travel to Norman, fly out to Oklahoma on Thursday afternoon, and then play the game on Friday night, get back here late Friday night, and hopefully start preparing for the Rose Bowl against Indiana as soon as they get back. That is, if they win. If they lose the game, the season is over. It's just that simple right now. It's not any more games unless you win. You win, you keep playing. You lose, and you are done. Let me get Chase in here for just a moment. Chase, before we start taking some phone calls, we talked yesterday about you graduating on Friday, getting a degree at Mississippi State, so now you're a big-time college graduate. So do you feel smarter?
Yeah, you know, I woke up a little bit more professional, you know, ready to attack the world. But yeah, it feels so weird, Gary. I don't know what it is, but not scheduling classes anymore,
yeah,
not ready for financial aid, just feels weird.
Yeah, it's a life-changing moment, nice, no doubt. You've transitioned into the next phase,
yeah,
of your life, and we got Mary from Atlanta coming over to visit you. So, you know, what a day. We'll visit with Mary here in just a little bit too. All right, some news and notes before we hit our first break here. We'll come back and start taking some phone calls. Monday Night Football last night, weird game. I was pulling for the Dolphins, first of all, because the Steelers don't have any Alabama connections anymore. And the Dolphins have Waddle and Tua. Plus, I'm wanting to see the Ravens win that division. So I was pulling for the Dolphins last night. My gosh, what a strange game. I understand the Dolphins have been winning with the run game, and their defense played great in the first half last night. They held up beautifully. But when they got behind, I don't know what the Dolphins were doing offensively. I mean, you're down three scores and you're huddling up and it just didn't feel like they were trying to win the game. And Tua picked it up a little bit late, but in the first half, he really struggled. Tua really struggled offensively, and then the Steelers shut the rundown game. Now, give Tua credit. He came back late in the game and threw a couple of touchdowns to Darren Waller, who is a very gifted tight end. But, Chase, I guess where I'm saying is I never really got the sense – that the Dolphins were trying to win the game. Does that make, I know that sounds crazy, but I mean, I understand the running game's been carrying you, but it was almost like they weren't even, in the first half, they didn't even take any shots down the field. It was handoffs and little passes that were, you know, 4 or 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. Of course, Tua did have the interception, but for the Dolphins, you know, they still technically had a chance to make the playoffs. I was really disappointed in their performance last night.
It's really been the name of the season for them, Gary. It's very disappointing with the talent they have, the head coach and the assistants that they have on that team. And just to produce what I saw yesterday or last night really was disappointing. And not to give any credit to the Steelers, because they are a very good team. They have Aaron Rodgers. You know, they have DK Metcalf and a very good defense. But Miami had that game. And to see that performance with the offensive power and Tua, I'm interested what Miami's going to do with them in the offseason and what the direction is going to go, because, you know, they want to win, but it's like they have the pieces around him. Is it him? Like, there's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, there are a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
And good for Tua. He's gotten paid. So no matter what happens, he's gotten generational wealth at his disposal. But yeah, the Dolphins are going to have to make a decision on how, because if they're going to stay with Tua, then, you know, we're going to have to build that team around him and his skill set. And right now, watching him play, he is still a timing thrower. I think he's still got nice touch on his throws. I still think in the right system with the right people, he can be an effective quarterback. But there just aren't a lot of juice on his throws. I don't know any other way to put it. I mean, there's just not a lot of zip. I mean, you know, he's trying to throw guys open. And he's trying to, you know, feel it out. But as far as just stepping in the pocket and ripping it, he's not doing that. And I do think, listen, in fairness, I think the concussions probably are a factor there. You can tell he does not want to take hits when he scrambles, as he should. He's looking to get down and avoid contact. And I think sometimes, you know, I just don't know what their future is with him. Because like with any quarterback in this league, at some point, you're the man until you're not the man. And when you're not the man, they're going to be looking for another man. And so Dolphins have to figure all that out. But I was certainly pulling in for them last night. But the Steelers get the win 28-15. Hey, in the NBA, did you see that Cooper Flagg becomes the youngest player ever to score 40 points or more in a game? He got 42 for the Mavs, even though they lost in overtime, 140 to 133 to the Jazz out in Salt Lake City. But this kid is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal player. I mean, he is you know, at 19 years and whatever days, he becomes the youngest to get 40. And now he's not, let's see. Yeah, there are players that are a little bit older than him that have scored. Cliff Robinson at 19 years and 362 days, almost 20 years old, had 45 for the Blazers back in 1980. So there have been some other players that a little bit older than him, but he becomes the youngest to get 40, even though that's a loss for the Mavericks. Alabama football, as we know, as I said, I'm going to try to get to some audio today from Coach DeBoer and Ty Simpson. They're in full-fledged, you know, preparation now. It's make or break in Norman, trying to avoid losing to the Sooners for the third time in 13 months. I was on a show out of Mobile earlier today and was asked about the matchup. I think Alabama likes the matchup. I do. I know that sounds silly because Oklahoma's had their number, but I thought that in Tuscaloosa, that was the last game, even with the mistakes, that Ty Simpson, to me, really looked like Ty Simpson. I mean, he stepped into his throws. He let it rip that game. Alabama moved the football consistently. They did some things in the running game. They just had the mistakes. They had the turnovers. They had Ty had a pick six. He had a fumble. Ryan Williams fumbled a punt that led to a Mateer touchdown. They had the special teams miscues. They got a field goal blocked. They gave up a long punt return in the game. So they've got to be better in special teams. But I think Alabama feels like this is a good matchup for them. So we'll be getting into that full speed. 205-342-9904 is the number. Drew DeArmond coming up at 9:30. Plenty of time for phone calls. Corey from Trustful, we'll get to you on the other side. Glad to have Mary from Atlanta in the control room visiting with Chase. So we're ready to go. And let's have a good show today. We'll be back with phone calls right after this on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Alabama U.S. Senator and gubernatorial candidate Tommy Tuberville drawing extensive criticism for an anti-Muslim floor speech in which he said Islamic extremists are using mass migration to destroy the United States. Tuberville says Muslims are running for and getting elected to lower offices. The Alabama Office of the Council on American Islamic Relations called his comments hateful, reckless, and embarrassing. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more local news. I'm Don Hartley.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
God gives grace to the humble, and wise men still seek him. Which are you? Have a Merry Christmas from Taco Casa.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:18. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We got phone calls lined up, and we're going to lead it off with Garfish in Duncanville. I think this is the first time I've had the pleasure of talking to Garfish. What's up?
Hey, Gary. I think we might. Yeah, I think this is the first time I've talked to you. But anyway, I wanted to ask you about Oklahoma's kick block.
Okay.
They've got a guy that leaps the gap between the snapper.
Yep.
And at one time, I thought it was illegal to land on the opposing player.
Well, I did, too. When it happened, I thought it was a penalty. But what I was told in the press box is that he didn't launch himself in the sense that he got a running start. I was told that, you know, he jumps directly straight up from a set position. So I don't know. I thought that it looked odd to me, Garfish, but I know this. If it was a violation, the Alabama coaching staff will make sure that it's pointed out to the officials before the game. So, you know, I have to assume it's legal. Like you said, he's been doing it. But I, you know, when I saw it on the replay at the game in the press box, I said, well, that should be a penalty. But I was told it wasn't. That's all I can tell you.
Okay. I've been trying to get somebody that, you know, to answer that question, because he landed right on top of them and then jumped off of them onto the ground to make the block. And I didn't, you know, I said, I guess my point is exactly what you said, is that I hope the coaches are going to go, hey, would you keep an eye on this, because we don't think that's legal.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Absolutely. But as I've said, I was told that there's something to do with getting a running start versus just coming straight up. But, you know, special teams in that game was not good for Alabama. So I'm sure that they're going to be working, Jay Nunez, the special teams coach, and the entire staff, to make sure that they don't have those mistakes in the second matchup, because I think that has meant it as much as the turnovers cost Alabama that game.
Oh, without a doubt.
All right, Garfish. Yeah, go ahead.
One last question. What are you hearing about Jam Miller's health?
Well, he's been banged up a lot this year. I don't know how many guys are 100% at this point, to be honest with you. I feel like he's going to be able to play. And the way I look at it, Garfish, the same thing with Ty. If you're able to play, then I got to expect that you're going to be able to play at a high level. I mean, otherwise, I don't think he should be playing. So if he's out there, then in my opinion, he's good to go, you know? And that's just the way that I view it. That's football. You know, it's a contact sport. Guys get banged up. You know, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. So if he's able to go, and, you know, obviously he is, then I expect him to play well in the game.
Well, Gary, that's what I wanted to know, and I appreciate you taking my call. Have a good one, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Garfish. Good to hear from you, man. Make sure you call back. All right, let's get to Corey in Trustful, and then we'll get to Steve in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Hate to do this, but I just don't have a good feeling about this game. Going on the road, going against the defense that's had your number. They got the special teams advantage. I just don't think this is a good matchup, Gary. I really don't.
Well, I disagree with you. I think it is a good matchup. I know that there's a little paranoia because of the fact that Alabama's lost to them twice in, you know, basically 13 months, and they'll have a chance to win for a third time. But I thought in Tuscaloosa, Alabama was a better football team. They lost the game. I get that. I mean, and give Oklahoma credit. They forced those turnovers. But I saw an Alabama team that was able to move up and down the field consistently offensively. I saw the defense really play well in the game. They were put in some tough spots, but other than the fumble by Ryan Williams where Mateer busted the touchdown run, I thought the defense played really, really well. I thought it came down to special teams and turnovers, and I would like to think that that's something that can get corrected. I mean, you can't get a field goal blocked, and you can't give up a long punt return. You can't give up a pick six, you know, can't fumble a punt deep in your own territory. I mean, those are things that should be correctable. And if they're correctable, I like the matchup for Alabama. I think Alabama can beat this team. I just think there's a little paranoia right now, again, because of what they did to Alabama last year out in Norman when Alabama was a favorite, and then this year in Tuscaloosa. But this game, as we saw in the SEC championship game Saturday, it did not matter one bit what Alabama had done to Georgia in the past. None of that mattered. Georgia was better that day. They won the game. I think Alabama can win this game, Corey, and I like the matchup. So you got a right to your opinion. I got a right to mine, but I disagree with you.
Ask yourself this question. If Alabama's driving to try to win the game, which matchup do you favor, the defense of Oklahoma or the Alabama offense?
Oh, my gosh. You put me in a, you know, what-if scenario. I'll say this. Alabama's been really good, other than the Oklahoma game, at winning close games this year. I mean, they won every close game they played other than Oklahoma, because obviously the Florida State and the SEC championship game were not close games. But so I'd put my money on Alabama. If it comes down to one drive at the end of the game to win the game, I'll take Alabama.
It's going to be difficult one way or the other. I mean, you're going into a hostile environment. I know we've said this all year. Alabama needs to start off fast, but it's going to be hard to start off fast against Oklahoma defense that doesn't hardly give up anything. They have the Lou Groza Award winner. They clearly have the special teams advantage. But I hope I'm wrong, but I just hope that we can play well, because this will be you'd hate to end your second season on three straight postseason losses. That's where Alabama's facing if they lose this game, is three straight postseason losses. It includes bowl game last year, the SEC championship this year, and the playoff game. But if Alabama can win this game, they'll face Indiana, and it'll be interesting to see what would happen in that. But like I said, if we can get a fast start, that would go a long ways, because you don't want to be fighting an uphill battle the majority of the game, and especially you don't want to have a game-winning drive against a Brent Venables defense that's trying to turn away you and try to – because their calling card is their defense. It always has been under Brent Venables, and you just know that if he can win the game with his defense, he'll take that any day.
Yeah, I'm with you. He will. And it's, listen, I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I'm going to make my prediction tonight on Tider Insider TV. But I do like the matchup. I think if you want to play devil's advocate, you could say if you're Oklahoma, you're thinking, my gosh, man, we got to try to beat this team again. Just like Alabama in Atlanta against Georgia. I was like, man, I wish they could play anybody other than Georgia. So, you know, we'll see how it turns out. I don't think it's going to be an easy game, but I think Alabama can win it. Hey, Corey, good to hear from you, my friend.
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you very much. All right, let's hit up with Steve here in Tuscaloosa before we get to the break. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for taking my call, partner.
Yeah, man.
Listen, I try not to bother you unless I have something that really presses on me. And this the Diego Pavia nightmare is chaps my behind, like you can't imagine. And I want to know if you think that this is like, is there, I don't, like you said yesterday, we don't know if he's coming back, but isn't this a punishable offense, even for Clark Lee? I mean,
I'm surprised that Clark Lee hasn't taken a more aggressive stand with him, and that his, listen, I know you want to support your quarterback. I understand what he's done for Vanderbilt football, but that behavior on Saturday night was awful. Yeah, it's embarrassing. And for an institution like Vanderbilt that has the high academic standards they do, and for them to kind of just sit back and I know somebody put together that well-crafted apology, but I'm right with you. The reason I say I think he'll come back if he can, I've had several people tell me, well, he's already made a statement that he's leaving. Yeah, but he hadn't dropped that lawsuit. If he gets another year to come back, making the kind of money he's making with the fact that he is a fringe NFL prospect at that, I think he'll come back. I think the kid at Tennessee will as well, Aguilar. But I'll say this. Plus, if he's wanting to go to the NFL, this is not a good look. This is not a way to make a positive impression on NFL teams carrying on like he did.
What about suspension? You know, just say, okay, Diego, you're suspended for the first two games.
That would have to come from the school. Let's say he comes back, okay? And again, I'm not sure that he will or will be allowed to, but let's say if he comes back, there's nothing I've seen from Vanderbilt that indicates to me, from Clark Lee, that administration, that they're going to reel this guy in at all. I mean, you know, he's grabbing his crotch in the warmups here in Tuscaloosa. He's had a history of this type of behavior, and they have been, you know, caught up in the excitement that he has brought and the fact that they're winning. And I do think Clark Lee, I like Clark Lee. I do think he's a class act. But in this case, I think he is, it's a bad look
he
for Vanderbilt.
Ball, man.
And it just says,
he dropped,
yeah.
I think Clark Lee dropped the ball on this. If we haven't heard something from him by now, I think he is absolutely dropped.
No, I don't think they're going to hear anything else. Like I said, somebody wrote an apology for him. They put that out. And that's going to be the end of it. They're going to go play in their bowl game, and he might get asked about it. But they're not going to do anything else. And maybe this will be his last game at Vanderbilt. But I'm with you. I just was shocked at the way he behaved, and particularly with the fact that during the ceremony he actually conducted himself decently, but then as soon as it's over, I mean, to tell the voters to F you, and then be caught in video with a F Indiana sign, and just, you know, he says Johnny Manziel's his role model, so there you go, I guess.
Well, that's right. I heard you make that comment yesterday, and I could not have agreed more. You are who you look up to, I suppose.
All right, Steve.
Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate you, man. All right, 9:29 here on the Gary Harris Show. We're off and running. We're going to come back with the Rocket Man, Drudy Harmon. Going to break it all down for us next, right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours.
And providing complimentary hat shaping. This Christmas, share a piece of the American spirit. Boot Barn. unwrap the West.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
to feeling and performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville, joining us for his weekly appearance. And Lord knows we got a lot to discuss this morning. How's it going, Drew?
I'm doing well, Gary. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you. Let's really no need to go back to the SEC Championship game. You've talked about it. I've talked about it. You know, we're moving on to what's next. And for Alabama, it's an opportunity to start with a clean slate. They're in the playoff. They play Friday night against Oklahoma and have a chance to make a run in a national championship. So let's pick it up right there. This third meeting in the last 13 months, I like the matchup. Even though Alabama's lost two in a row to Oklahoma, I still like this matchup for Alabama. I'm wondering how you feel about it Friday night in Norman.
Well, I mean, they need to get healthy, and then, and it just comes down, I think, to old school football. They've got to, you know, play Oklahoma even in the kicking game. They were absolutely horrendous, back in late October, early November. It was bad. It was just not a good performance by Alabama. Getting a field goal block, giving up an explosive punt return. They were not solid in the kicking game. And if they're solid in the kicking game and play Oklahoma, and again, they don't have Tate Sandell. That guy's a thunderfoot. But if they have to, make some kicks, if they can kick the football, and he's been a little up and down, we know that. But if Connor Salty can make kicks, if they need a field goal or two, it'll certainly be huge for Alabama. But again, if they can play even in the kicking game and then find a way to win the turnover battle, I think they can win this game. I mean, they moved the ball well. I actually thought it was one of the offensive line's better performances against, the Oklahoma Sooners. But you also have to take into account R. Mason Thomas is likely to be back in this game. I don't know how much he'll play. We talked to Jesse Crittenden of OU Insider this morning. He was at practice. Said it looked like he was moving around really well yesterday when he watched R. Mason Thomas, that they had an opening media viewing period as well. So, but again, I just think if Alabama can win the turnover battle, play them even in the kicking game, I like Alabama's defense. And Alabama, they're going to have to create some turnovers this time. They didn't create any against OU. And then whether it's an explosive play in the kicking game like OU had last time, or scoring on defense, which they nearly did, Oklahoma did, Alabama didn't. Or if it's just making a couple of explosive plays offensively, 40, 50-yard explosive plays, Alabama's going to have to make a couple of those if they want to win this game. And I thought Oklahoma, they made those plays the last game with that punt return that set up a score, and then, as we know, with the pick six. So the explosive plays, winning, the turnover battle, and then being solid in the kicking game, it's old school football, Gary, but to me, that's the pathway for Alabama to get a win.
You know, we're on the same page, because I was on a show earlier this morning in Mobile, and I kind of said the same thing you just said to me. A lot of my optimism is based on how well the offense played in that game, minus the turnovers. And you got to give Oklahoma credit. Like Venable said after the game, they forced those turnovers. But It was turnovers and special teams mistakes. You're right. The defense played well in that game. Alabama consistently moved the football. So is it just as simple as cleaning that up, cleaning up the turnovers, not giving up a punt return for long yardage, not giving up a blocked field goal, just being a little more sound? Is that the key for Alabama in this game?
Well, I think so. Certainly Oklahoma's offense can play better. They didn't play well against Alabama. I think Alabama had a lot to do with that. But what John Mateer and the offense did do is they avoided the big turnover. Some of that was a little bit of luck, and that's what it takes in football, the way the ball bounces. Because Justin Jefferson almost had a pick six that would have given Alabama a 14-10 lead. And then later in the game, I think Tim Keenan tipped the ball that Yonte Pierre may have picked off. But if Alabama gets those opportunities this time, then they've got to take full advantage. Now, also, Alabama was fortunate because they were sloppy with the ball. Even though they moved it really well, Alabama fumbled a couple of times, and Oklahoma didn't get the football. So Alabama's going to have to be sounder. They're going to have to protect the ball. And I think Ty Simpson, if this offensive line can protect him, can have some success. But you also have to understand, OU's very talented. They're going to make some plays. They're going to get after you. I still think they'll get two or three sacks in the game. But it's just this time, what does Alabama do when they give Ty time? Ty, what I thought on the deciding drive of the game, he was given some time to throw, and he missed Isaiah Horton on what would have been a huge play and put Alabama nearly in field goal range, with a chance to win it. Maybe Connor Chalky would have had some redemption. But again, I just think overall, if they can be sound, if they can protect the ball, I think they've got a good shot. But you have to take into account too, it's a chess match. You know, Oklahoma may move the ball a little bit better this time as well. I know the over-under is 40, so people are expecting a low-scoring game. I still think the magic number for either team is kind of mid-20s. If somebody can get to 24, I think they're going to win the game. I picked Alabama 24-20 because I think they've played their best football. When you look at it in context, they played their best football on the road. I know they didn't play very well here a year ago at Oklahoma. It was a good game for a half. And then what did we talk about this whole segment? Turnovers decided the game and allowed Oklahoma to win 24-3. But I'll just say this, if Alabama can force some mistakes early, especially if they can start quickly, I think they can win the game. And I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I think it's going to be really physical. But Oklahoma has had 3 weeks of rest. Alabama's had close to two. But hopefully that's going to benefit, the Tide in that. I know they were really banged up after that Georgia game, and they're still going to be banged up and not 100%, but hopefully getting Brailsford back, Jam Miller. We'll see on Quavis. Quavis could be huge because, people forget. I think he had the best game of his career. It's the last game that he played in, 6 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. We'll see if he can at least give him some snaps. But, again, I think if Alabama can just clean up, the kicking game mistakes and the turnovers, and if their defense can take the ball away, I think they can win a close one. But regardless, this is going to be a heck of a game, I think, against Oklahoma.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you 100%. And Oklahoma will have the home field advantage. And again, we know what they did to the Tide last year out there in Norman. But Drew, I'm going to say something. You may agree, you may not agree. I've always said home field advantage always has more to do with how good the team is that's the home team than the atmosphere. I've been to a lot of hostile environments. You have too. But Alabama won this year in Athens. They won in Columbia. I think the home field advantage, and it is an advantage. That's why we call it that. But I think for the players, it's not nearly as big as it is for the fans. I think fans make more. Players are going, they're playing between the lines. I guess where I'm going with this is weather's supposed to be pretty good. I think Alabama will win or lose this game based on how they play, not because Oklahoma's playing at home. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that's the key. Certainly, Oklahoma's tough at Owen Field. They beat Auburn there earlier in the year, and it was a blood and gut type ball game. It wasn't easy. So certainly it's not going to be easy to go into Norman and win. But I think Alabama can do that. They just have to play good fundamental football. I tend to take it as my thoughts on predicting an Alabama win is I think Kellen DeBoer and the staff have done a solid job this year. You know, I don't think it's an ultra talented Tide roster, but there is some talent there. I do think in many cases they have more talent on offense than Oklahoma does. And I'm hoping this rest for Jeremy Bernard, and maybe we'll finally see the reemergence of Ryan Williams, because Ryan hadn't really had a spectacular game since the Georgia game in his freshman year. He's had some good games, some solid games. And then if you remember last year against this Oklahoma team, he was close to having a great game, but there were some weird penalties that happened, some weird things. I'm hoping that Ryan Williams, we saw some glimpses of it in the SEC championship game, but they need him to play well in this game. They need him to reemerge. The drops have to stop. I mean, they had 6 drops as a team against Georgia. They've got to catch the football. And I know Ty struggled some and missed some throws, but when you're suffering 6 drops, Gary, that's just not good enough. I mean, that's just, you've got to be better. And, you know, the law of averages would tell you that this Alabama team with this extended rest is going to be better this time around. And I'm sure hoping that's the case. And I think, you know, while certainly they're going to be without LT Overton, unfortunately. And that's a big loss.
Sure is.
You know, we'll see. Yep. Alabama's had a chance with Jordan Renaud, Keon Keeley, even if you move London Simmons around. They've known for a while they probably weren't going to have him, so they've got a chance to deal with it. And, you know, they're going to have some other guys step it up and make some plays.
Drew DeArmond with us, the Rocket Man, breaking it down. Let me ask you about Coach DeBoer, and I think you and I have had enough discussions that nothing shocks us in college football anymore, college athletics in general, certainly with coaches. But my feeling has been all along that, you know, he's the football coach at Alabama. I think he's got one of the prime jobs in the sport. I think he's set up for success. I don't see him leaving, but I also do understand that Michigan probably has some interest. He's done his best to shut that down this week. What are your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer being back at Alabama in 2026?
Well, I mean, I've never thought he was leaving. I never thought he was going to Penn State. I think Alabama fans should understand while he hasn't, you know, won a national championship, and I know he's lost 7 games, and if Alabama doesn't win it this year, he's lost 8. But you have to understand that Nick Saban had the greatest run we've ever seen, but the roster wasn't as talented as people thought, you know, when Coach Saban left. It's kind of like a parallel with Coach Bryant when his last few years at Alabama also, because, you know, he won back-to-back titles in 78 and 79, was really good in 80, but by 81 and 82, there had been some slippage. And I think there had been some slippage under Nick Saban, even though I thought he did a great coaching job, maybe his best, getting that 23 team to win the SEC and then to into the college football playoff and losing overtime, basically, or to the Michigan Wolverines. But, you know, look, I just think Coach DeBoer's done a really nice job. He signed a much-needed great recruiting class that's really performed well this year, and he stacked it on top of another one. You know, I thought they had a solid portal class. I think they're going to be even more aggressive, and I think that is going to be shown with – I think that one of the things that, you know, Jimmy Sexton did is, of course, Coach DeBoer's had interest from Penn State and Michigan, but I think he wanted to get a commitment from Alabama's administration, not so much for a rework contract, which is probably part of it for Kellen DeBoer, but they want, you know, to fully fund the football program, and that means from an NIL perspective so they can be more aggressive in the portal and have a $25 million roster to compete with everyone, because I think that they've shown enough as a staff they can develop players and that they can win. And so I just think you can't be short-sighted. I mean, some of the most asinine things I've read is that, you know, Coach DeBoer's coaching for his job Friday night. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, you couldn't be any dumber unless you were Lane Kiffin. I mean, come on. I mean, in the way you handle the media and the way Lane handled his exit from LSU, which I thought, or excuse me, from Ole Miss to LSU, which I thought was horrendous. But I think Coach DeBoer has done a solid job. He's a good dude. The players like playing for him. And I think you just need to let him coach the team. And no matter what happens on Saturday, or excuse me, I knew I'd say that, Friday night, I think he should be fine. And certainly you should take it as a badge of honor that programs of the stature of a Penn State and Michigan are interested in your coach. And that shows you that he's got Alabama on the right track. Now, it's not Nick Saban and losing one game a year max and what Coach Saban did remarkably in Tuscaloosa. But this is a new era of college football, and Nick Saban was, you know, ready to be done because he said himself, if I can't continue to keep this program up to the standard that I built, then I'm going to step away. And he stepped away, and it's been an adjustment period. But I think if you let Kalen DeBoer continue to build this program, you're going to really like what you see. And hopefully it'll start on Friday with a win at Oklahoma. And if I think – a lot of people were doubting the team going to Auburn. They went to Auburn and won. If they can, to me, Gary, if they win this game Friday night, it's everything's gravy because then you go to the Rose Bowl, you're in the Elite Eight, and you get a chance to compete against the number one team in the country. And we're not living in a normal world of college football because this is the new world when Indiana is number one and it's not basketball.
All right, Drew, we're getting up against the clock already. I want to ask you about Jeremy Pruitt getting that injunction from a judge that the NCAA can't use that show cause against him. It appears to open the door for him to return to big-time coaching. Do you think he'll be hired for a job at a major school in 2026?
It wouldn't surprise me. I think in a lot of ways, Jeremy, because he's been out for several years, it wouldn't shock me if he takes a job as an analyst at a bigger school and then works his way within a year or two back on the field because he did a remarkable job with his father at Plainview, his alma mater, and getting them back to being one of the better programs in North Alabama. And I think a lot of people are going to want to see you know, how he adjusts to being back in college football. And I don't think it'd be a bad thing for him to be an analyst for a year and then work his way back to an on-field job. Because I remember when Tosh Lupoy was brought into Alabama, he had been in kind of purgatory from his days at Cal Berkeley in Washington. Coach Saban brought him in, let him get the lay of the land for a year, and then brought him back on the field as the outside linebackers coach. And now he's going to be the new head coach at Cal and has done remarkable things for the rest of his career once he reestablished himself. Because when he was at Cal as an assistant and then at Washington, he was one of the best recruiters in the country. And he brought a lot of great players to both those schools. Jeremy Pruitt was an outstanding defensive coordinator at Alabama, at Florida State, and Georgia. And I think he can be one again. But I think getting him acclimated back and as an analyst for a year would probably be what's best for his career. And I think if they do that, within a year, you're going to have a guy that's one of the best recruiters, and he'll have a great understanding of where he is. Because I think whoever hires him, whether it be in the SEC or major college football, I think they're going to hire him for the long term. And I think if he were back in Tuscaloosa, it would certainly be an advantage for Kalen DeBoer and the Tide or wherever Jeremy ends up. I just know one thing. It sure as hell won't be Tennessee.
That's for sure. All right, last couple minutes, Drew, basketball. Good first half against Arizona in the CM Newton Classic at Legacy Arena in Birmingham. Second half just got their doors blown off. And Coach Oates said after the game, you know, he's got dominated on the offensive glass. Here's my question for you, though. It's kind of like football. You know, people say you got to run the ball. But, you know, you have to be committed to running the ball. You have to, you know, rebounding wise, you know, do they, you know, playing four out, one in, do they have enough guys getting to the glass? I mean, I know they missed Bo Diabate in that area. I think he brought some toughness, some aggressiveness. But it's easy to say you need to rebound better. But from a schematic standpoint, are they putting themselves in position to be a better rebounding team? Well, what do you think needs to happen there? Because, again, a lot of people get exposed against Purdue and against Gonzaga and against Arizona. They're great teams. I get that. But when you, that's going to be the key for Alabama. They're a really good team. Can they hold up against these big physical teams, Drew? What do they need to do to be better on the glass?
Well, what they need to do is take better care of the basketball.
Cause that's a start.
They were really sloppy with the ball at the start of the second half. And when you turn it over and you give Arizona chances to get out on the secondary break and out in transition, it's never good. And then when you take quick threes and you're not moving the ball and you take bad threes, because we know Alabama's going to take a lot of threes, but it's the quality of the shot. And I thought they took too many bad shots and bailed Arizona out. They didn't continue to move it. I thought they should have kept attacking the rim and tried to get some of those bigs in foul trouble. And Alabama blocked a ton of shots, but it's because they couldn't get any rebounds. But rebounding is also effort. And I think once Alabama started poorly and then Burry's got going and Arizona ran some great stuff to get to the rim themselves and they came out and punched Alabama in the mouth, I didn't think Alabama responded well. I thought, you know, they kind of caved in. But I will say this. I think Arizona's probably the most balanced team they've played. A lot of their characteristics reminded me of Florida last year. Mm-hmm. Where Clayton was a great player, but then they had so many other really good players. And Arizona's got a bunch of really good players. And they're really deep and experienced and old. And, you know, and the thing about it, you know, with their coaching staff, Tommy Lloyd, they've got a lot of overseas connections. And he's building that program in a lot of the same ways that he helped Mark Few build Gonzaga. And Alabama's lost the three top 10 teams. You know, I'm not going to get completely frustrated. And I'll just say this. They've got to rebound better, Gary. But when you have Aiden Holloway, but he can't shoot a three, that just totally cripples you because he's an 18-point-per-game scorer, and he really complements LeBaron Filon really well. And so the biggest thing for me for Alabama is they've got to get healthy. If they get healthy, I think they're going to be fine. And they've shown the ability. For the first half, they stayed within striking distance rebounding of Arizona. I thought the key, though, was Arizona countered and Alabama didn't respond. And Alabama's got to learn to put two halves together.
Yep, well said. Folks, find Drew on X at DrewD977 ESPN. Of course, listen to him on the opening with Scott Tyson every morning on 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville for Talking Ball. Hey, thank you, Drew.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, we're going to come back and wrap up the first hour of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Go to TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
With approved credit on select models, interest accrues from date of purchase, offers expire month end.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy
men's clinic. And change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today, warmer this afternoon, the high 53. Tonight, fair with a low at 35. Tomorrow, partially
Friday, sunny, the high 57. Thursday, cloudy with a good chance of showers during the day, the high Thursday at 62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. We're going to come back with the second hour, wide open for phone calls. And we'll get to hour number two on the way right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
And W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are now 8-6 this NFL season after beating Miami Monday night 28-15. Aaron Rodgers with two touchdown passes. The Steelers were down 3-0 late in the first half and then scored touchdowns on their next four drives. Pittsburgh's franchise has won 23 straight at home on Monday Night Football dating back to 1991. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes had his surgery Monday night on his torn ACL. Defensive end of the Packers Micah Parsons does indeed have a torn ACL. He was hurt Sunday. MRI confirmed that Monday. The Jets fired defensive coordinator Steve Wilks. In the NBA, Denver at home won in overtime against Houston, 128-125. Nikola Jokic, 39 points in a triple-double. Utah.
Do for you. Contact Courtney Watt at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, co@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield with you for another hour. We're wide open for phone calls in this hour. We don't have any guests. We do have some audio that we're going to get to from Ty Simpson and Kalen DeBoer. Before we do that, though, some thoughts on basketball. We got an app message. So let me read it right now, in fact. Let me find it. I just had it pulled up. Let me get it pulled up. We just got an app message. Here we go. From Jared in Houston, college basketball has always been and will always be about dominant bigs. Without a dominant big, get accustomed to Sweet 16s, the occasional Elite Eight, and the Final Four every decade or two. That's just the way it is. Roll Tide. From Jared in Houston. Yes and no, Jared. I think that, well, first of all, if you're going to Sweet 16s, an occasional Elite Eight and a Final Four every decade or two, that's not bad, okay? Let's be honest. Alabama had never been to a Final Four in the existence of the program until Nate Oates got him there. So that's not a bad resume right there that he's putting together. Having said that, yeah, I mean, you like having big guys that are dominant players. You know, you're right. We're always going to see that in college basketball. The teams that have dominant big guys are going to be hard to handle. At the same time, I love Alabama's style of play, getting up and down the floor, scoring a lot of points. I think that we've seen that you can do both here. You can have that type of flow and still have guys down low. And Bediako was a perfect example of a rim protector that could get on the glass. So I think this year's team, I still feel like they're finding their way. And I don't want to contradict myself because I do agree that, you know, to rebound, you got to want to rebound. You know, you got to want to rebound and you got to have some guys going to the boards, crashing the boards. So I don't want to contradict myself here, but I do think this team is still feeling its way out. I mean, there have been so many guys in and out of the lineup. I mean, I've talked about it here on the show. The injury list has been significant, it seems like, you know, until this past game when it's finally got narrowed down. I think, and, you know, doesn't really matter what I think, but this is my opinion, is that Alabama's going to have to find a rotation and narrow it down and find nine guys that they can line up with and try to get a little continuity and chemistry with the lineup, and instead of just jumping around. And as Drew said, you know, Aiden Holloway, as gifted as he is on the perimeter, when he's not making shots, he does hurt you. I mean, he's 6 feet tall. You know, he's not gonna be a rebounder. So I think lineup wise, they're gonna have to make some adjustments. I do. I think they're gonna have to make some adjustments, and I think they're gonna have to get some guys and settle in on a rotation and get ready for January in the SEC. So I think the coaching aspect of it with Coach Oates and his staff is still coming together too, because of the newness of the roster and so many guys in and out. So I think they've got to have some stability. I think they've got to have some continuity here. And they got three games left before the SEC schedule starts against Kentucky. And I think they've got to start narrowing it down a little bit. And, you know, but they are a good team. Alabama's a really good team. It's just that I think they're in that good team stratosphere. And I think there are some elite teams. I think they just played one of them. I think Arizona's elite. I think Michigan's elite. I still think Gonzaga's elite, even though they've had, you know, a loss or two. And so we'll see where Alabama fits in. I do feel like Jared's right in a lot of these teams that I mentioned. In Florida, too, even though they've lost some games. A lot of these teams have dominant, big, physical presence-type players inside. I'm not sure Alabama has that. So we'll see what happens going forward. But anyway, I just wanted to respond to that app message, and you're welcome to send us app messages as well. It's 10:08 here on the Gary Harris Show. Back to football now. 205-342-9904 if you want to join the conversation. We'd love to have you. Some thoughts on Alabama after this season, because as I said, I was on another show in Mobile this morning to ask about Kalen DeBoer. I asked Drew about it. My expectation is Kalen DeBoer is going to be the football coach here. I don't think he's leaving. That's just my opinion. I mean, I think he's going to be the football coach here. I think that this program is in good shape. I think that they are trying to take the next step and get back to being a team that contends for a national championship. They could do that this year. That's the good news, is that they could do that this year. I mean, who's to say Alabama can't make a run this year? I'm not going to say that they can't, but I think they're positioned well for the future. And I think that this recruiting class that Drew mentioned that's coming in on top of these other good recruiting classes, I do think there's going to be a little turnover in the staff. Obviously, Jamarcus Shepard's leaving to be the head coach at Oregon State. There's going to be some other, I think there'll be some other coaches that leave. So there'll be a little bit of staff movement. But for the most part here, there is, you know, there's stability. And I think next year, Alabama, regardless of whether Ty Simpson's the quarterback or if Austin Mack or Keelon Russell plays quarterback for Alabama next year, I think they're in position to have a really big season in 2026. Not that this season is over. Like I said, I mean, they're still playing football. They're one of 12 teams that have an opportunity to win a national championship. So I don't want to short them at all on what they can accomplish this season. But I think this third season for Kalen DeBoer could be primed to be huge. I think they could really have a team that has, from the get-go, what we thought we were going to get this year. I mean, we thought we all anticipated Alabama would go down to Tallahassee, win that game, get off and running. It didn't happen. They lost one early. They lost one late. But they did get into the playoff. But next year maybe is the year where they have that team that just kind of runs the table, kind of like Saban's teams did. You know, they just is dominant throughout the season, because I think they'll have enough in place coming back. So I think football's in really good shape. That's where I'm going with this little diatribe that I'm on. Regardless of what happens in the game on Friday night, although I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag a little bit, I'll make my prediction tonight on Tider Insider TV, but I think Alabama's going to win that game Friday night. And I'll give you a score prediction tonight on the TV show. But I think Alabama's going to win that game on Friday night. So I think they're going to get a crack at Indiana and the Rose Bowl and have a chance to make this season special going forward. But I do think they're going to win on Friday night. But next year, I really think this team could be in place to do something big. And I think Kalen DeBoer knows that. So I think everything is good right now. It could get better depending on what happens against Oklahoma. Now, the flip side of that is, what if Alabama loses? Well, they will have lost. And like Drew said, that'll be four losses, two straight seasons. And we haven't seen that, around here in a long, long time. But it doesn't mean that the program's not in good shape. So if they don't win on Friday night, you still will have made it to Atlanta for the SEC championship, beaten Auburn for a sixth straight time, beaten Georgia again, even though you lost to them in the SEC championship game, beat them in Athens, and made the college football playoff. So it will still have been a good season. Will I call it a great season? No, I won't call it a great season. Making the playoff and losing in the first round is not a great season. It's a good season. But if they win this game and can make a run, then it can become a great season. So that's kind of where we're at. All right, 12 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the Gary Harris Show, and I want to talk to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health. Because, listen, if you're a man and you're not feeling your best, you can do something about it, and you can do something about it very quickly by simply going to Game Day Men's Health, 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. They offer convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, ED treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. It's a personalized treatment that starts with their signature three-step plan. Complete intake and simple blood work. Get results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health and begin your customized treatment plan. Consultations are completely free. Fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, they aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. What can you expect from Game Day Men's Health? Well, boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. Men, that's something you can get excited about. Game Day Men's Health, 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. Get by and see them today. All right, we're going to come back with Alabama head football coach Kalen DeBoer meeting with the media yesterday ahead of the college football playoff game against Oklahoma on Friday night. We'll have that for you next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the Tuscaloosa Thread, headlines. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville drawing extensive criticism for anti-Muslim comments made on the Senate floor.
They're doing whatever they can to turn our country into the third world hellhole that they came from. We are different. We want a great country, not a third world country.
Critics are calling him embarrassing and hateful. A man with a knife sparked a manhunt in Oakland yesterday, leading to a precautionary lockdown of a school and a Powerball jackpot up to $1.25 billion. I'm Don Hartley.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three
of the year. Only at Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Go to TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
With approved credit on select models, interest accrues from date of purchase, offers expire month end.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and
device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. 256 gigs, $830. Eligible port in a new line. $100 plus a month plan with auto pay. Plus taxes and fees required. Check out in 15 minutes or less per line. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9. Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today. Warmer this afternoon. The high 53. Tonight fair with a low at 35. Tomorrow partially sunny. The high 57. Thursday cloudy with a good chance of showers during the day. The high Thursday at 62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Now I know what a fool.
10:18. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Alabama head football coach Kalen DeBoer met with the media on Monday afternoon for an update in terms of the preparation for the college football playoff first round game at Oklahoma on Friday night. Also, of course, he was asked about his job status and interest in Michigan. So we're going to play that press conference for you now. Here's head coach Kalen DeBoer from Monday afternoon.
Just got off the practice field, having to coach those receivers a little bit more and help out. I'm a little more winded than normal. So, just a couple of things. Just went back to work. Had some great practices at the end of last week. Guys had graduation. I have to make a note, 37 guys that got their degrees that are on our football team, 26 new players that have a degree. And so super proud of that. We worked our schedule on Saturday around that. Some had a practice later, actually got underneath the lights, was really good. And then got back to work again yesterday with some meetings and such. And then today, more of a full practice. You try to talk me into today's Monday, but Tuesday in our world because of a Friday game. And so again, getting ready for that. And Coach Venables and Oklahoma, a very good football team here for a reason. And, 10-2 record. Just they play team football like it's meant to be played. And we know we're going to go into an environment that's going to be rowdy. It's going to be a great atmosphere. You know, our guys got to be ready for that. And I feel like we've been prepared, through the SEC schedule that we've been on here all season. So got a few more days. We got to keep stacking practices, but really, really excited about the progress and, like the direction it's headed.
Let's just start with Nick on the front right.
Yeah, just for clarity's sake, so things aren't left up to interpretation. Are you going to be the coach of Alabama next year?
Man, come on, Nick. All right, I put a statement out yesterday because first of all, our guys handle distractions phenomenally. It's been that way all season long. They continue to do that. And so, but I also, knew that yesterday and today was pretty important. I wasn't going to see until today to address it. So that's why I put that out there. A lot of the same things I said before, a couple weeks ago when asked really the same question. Just, feel completely supported. My family loves living here. Just all the things that we continue to build on. Love the progress. Haven't talked with anyone. No plans of talking with anyone. So just I think that's a lot of what I said a couple weeks ago and continues to be the same thing. Feel strong about it. And our guys, if there's been any distraction, I haven't seen it, haven't felt it. And so I'm really proud of the way they've handled whatever noise is out there. And again, we've probably all season long have dealt with enough noise to where it doesn't surprise me on how they handle this.
Katie, second row in the middle left.
You said after the SEC championship that it wasn't really a confidence issue for Ty, more continuity with the offense, just kind of with a couple extra days to get healthy leading into this game. What's the continuity looked like this week on offense?
Yeah, it's been better. I thought as a team, and that would include obviously the offense on Saturday. Today's Monday. I told you guys are going to try to talk me into Monday. But Saturday, it was one of our best practices we've had in a long time. And across the board, the energy starts with energy, but the execution for where we were at with our installation. And, we continue to build on that. You're a little bit ahead because, we have these extra days. So with third downs, red zone, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there is more continuity. There's guys that are healthier. It's up front offensive line wise. It's the receiving core, and other guys that are continuing to build into more reps as we work through the week, and hope that continues to be the case here moving forward.
All right, Charlie.
Just for clarification and going back to Nick's question, will you be the coach at Alabama next year?
I plan on being it. Yes. Nick, yes. Charlie, yes.
Yes. Come over to the left side of the room to Chase.
When Oklahoma won here about a month ago, some of their players got on the logo at the 50-yard line taking pictures and so forth while staff was trying to get it roped off. Some of your players addressed that earlier this week. What were your thoughts about that?
I guess I wasn't aware of that. Now I am, so I'm going to talk to our team about it. So I guess I did remember seeing something with it roped off. I didn't know, what the extent of what that was. So, that probably gives you an idea. To me, this is about this game. This is about our playoff game. mean, we respect who they are as a football team. They've obviously got the better side of things the last two times we played. And so that's really where our focus is at. And I do remember something vaguely about that. It hasn't really even been a conversation in our meetings. This has been solely about we're in the playoffs. It's win or go home. And we need to be given everything we have we can to be in our best and the work that is ahead.
Stay on the front line. Collins next.
Kalen, you mentioned a little bit about this earlier, but with the distraction of, you know, the rumors and there's other things too, but how have you seen players kind of respond, especially with, you know, them having to answer questions about kind of your place here and things like that, and things seemingly everything outside of, you know, the playoff against Oklahoma? How have you seen players respond to that?
I mean, outside of knowing that there was a question or two, I think at the end of last week, it's been non-existent. I mean, it really has. Our guys are focused on Oklahoma. They really are. I mean, that's where we're all, that's what we've been completely focused on. And I haven't seen anything other than that. Again, these guys deal with noise and they know that that's what it is. What's internal is what matters.
Let's go to Ellie Grace.
Hey, Coach, can you just give an update on the injuries? I know that a lot of guys are trying to get healthy from SEC Championship until now. What's the overall health of the team at?
Can you help me out on, like, who you're looking for here?
Yeah, we saw Jam out there today, just his progress, yep. Along yep. with Parker Brailsford, Cam Dewberry, a few of those guys.
Yep. Jam, he said Parker. Parker's doing good. He's been practicing. Jam. He's making good progress. Just kind of continue to see how the week goes along. You guys saw him out there doing some things today. Who else?
Quavis,
very similar to Jam, making progress out there, doing some work, and really, you know, I guess you're optimistic at this point. We still got four days left, so those guys are heading a good direction, making good progress, and continue to evaluate them leading forward. But you know, you saw them out there doing some things today in practice.
Go to the back middle of the wrong room to Joe.
Coach, with the recent success on the road this season, what's been your message to the team? Like, have you changed anything up from last season? You had a couple follies on the road, and this year much more successful on the road. And then kind of combined with that, you already touched on it with the playoff and the privilege. How do you handle kind of the finality of win or go home?
Mm-hmm. As far as differences from this year to last year, and first of all, there are. We've played much better, you know. 4-0 in the conference games, and so in really strong environments. I mean, we maybe show up a little bit later or a little bit earlier, just like an hour or two. I mean, it's really nothing major. Things that we worked into our schedule. We still do our team meeting on the road. We still do position meetings and stuff. So really not a lot that we change. I think it's all about the mindset that when you're in the moment, how you're going to respond, because you don't have your home crowd. And I think that's where, you know, we've executed better in the critical situations. And that was kind of a theme going in with the off season that I've really stressed to you and as well as the team. And so, you know, I think we've just been better in those moments because these games do come down to the wire. And the one game we didn't make the critical plays was this one at home, you know, so we've actually done a pretty good job on the road. But that's really been where I think we've improved to be better on the road in these type of games.
Mike, on the back right.
One more injury, LT Overton, just wanted to see where he stands.
Mm-hmm. Just with LT, continue to monitor him. I would not say he's doubtful for this weekend.
All right, we have one last question from the Zoom, Eli Letterman on ESPN. Go ahead, Eli.
Hey, Kalen. I know the focus is very tight on this week, but you've seen Brent Venables earlier this fall prepped for him. You've got him again this week. And I'm curious, from a kind of 10,000-foot view, what are the elements that make his defensive play calling and the way he approaches leading a defense in game distinct from your perspective?
Well, obviously play calling is a huge part of it, but I think it's the design of the defense and, you know, your play caller have to be on the same page with the defense that's out there and how they attack and, you know, the variety and the diversity of what they do in their different packages. You know, they got good, great players, too. And so up front, they just do a great job of causing chaos. And, you know, they love the tackles for loss and the sacks. And there's obviously a trigger man, and Coach Venables being one of the best that there is. at doing it. You know, obviously he's running the show, and so, you know, always got a ton of respect for what he does, but they have an attacking mindset. You know, there's no question about it. One of the best in the country at doing it.
All right, let's finish up with Johnny Compton in the back.
Hey, Kalen, with their pass rush, how important is it that you guys remain balanced in the run game, even if maybe early on you aren't gashing them, that you remain consistent in that so those pass rushers don't get loose?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we did a pretty good job, actually. We had some, we actually blocked some things up better than what I thought we produced as far as total yardage. Some of that was, though, off the sacks that we had. If I remember right, we had four for 25, 30 yards, something like that. And so, I, you know, compared to other teams, because this is a very good defense, and that's what you're kind of looking at, I thought we did we ran the ball as well as anyone had. And so we got to keep building on that. And that is important, though, because the more you can do of that, the better situations and third downs that you can be where Ty can go, you know, not have to force the ball down the field, which takes more time. And, you know, third and mediums, third and shorts, love to live in that world. But there's obviously a team on the other side of the ball that's trying to make that world a little bit harder and not let you get in those spots. And so everything we can do to continue to be, you know, staying ahead of the chains, whether it's run or pass, you know, playing good, smart, clean football, that's going to be really important for our success on offense. You bet. Thank you, guys. Real time.
Great stuff there from Kalen DeBoer. Perfect timing, too, as we are set to get to the break here. And I wanted to hear from the Alabama head football coach on Monday afternoon and had some good comments. Hey, listen, what a good gift for Christmas. How about a personal training package from the YMCA? Take your fitness to the next level with one-on-one guided, tailored guidance tailored to your goals, fitness level, and schedule. And you can book 30-minute sessions, 60-minute sessions, flexible packages, single or duo sessions. They've got it all lined up for you. Personal training can take you to the next level. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org/personal training, or get by and see them at 2300 13th Street and get your personal training session. It's a great holiday gift. Buy it for a friend or your significant other. That's personal training at the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. Or we're wide open for phone calls the rest of the way. 205-342-9904 is the number. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield. Also got one of our listeners in town from Atlanta, Mary from Atlanta. So we want to give her a shout out for stopping by and visiting with us for a little bit. We'll be back with more of the show right after this.
Today or buy online and pick up in store now. Ulta Beauty. Gifting happens here.
Covering University of Alabama sports as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show. Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back in, excuse me, to the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM WTBC. All right, we're going to get to some audio from Ty Simpson here coming up in just a little bit, but I did not book a second hour guest today because I wanted to make sure I got to play Kalen DeBoer and Ty Simpson, which we got to play Kalen DeBoer, and we're going to get to play Ty Simpson. But now, I've always said, when as soon as I say we're going to play some music, we get, or play some sound bites, we get phone calls. Today, it has not happened. It's slow today. So, callers, feel free to chime in, 205-342-9904. Your thoughts on Alabama and Oklahoma, the game's only 3 days away. I'll make my prediction tonight on Tider Insider TV on WVUA 23 at 6:30. So looking forward to that. But as far as the game itself is concerned, we, you know, we break it down so much. We have guests that break it down. I mean, at some point you just have to go play. But I'll reiterate what I've said earlier and what I said on you know, a show in Mobile this morning. I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. I think Alabama's going to win the football game. I do. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot in the past. We know that. Although I did pick, I had a good year picking games against the spread in the SEC, and I did pick Georgia over Alabama in the SEC championship game. But I think Alabama's going to win the football game. I think my honest evaluation is, and this is not to disrespect Oklahoma, they beat Alabama right here at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium a few weeks ago. I think Alabama's a better football team. I just do. And so all of the analysis aside, all of the, you know, playing on the road, weather, although the weather is not supposed to be very bad, supposed to be pretty nice, actually some wind. I think it's going to come down to Alabama's better, and I think they will make the adjustments that they need to make based on the first game to go out there and win. That's just the way I feel about it. Hey, let's take a phone call on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Hey, Ragged Glory, what's up?
Good morning. Take another cough there. Clear it out. I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, it's good. It's just a little bit. I had my Pepsi Zero Sugar, and I love them, but sometimes that caffeine, I guess, gets a little scratchy in your throat. But I'm good to go. What's going on, man?
You know what? Thanks for the roller coaster weather. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Mary, thanks a lot for, I did not get the email, didn't get the text, didn't get nothing. Welcome home, love. Yes, one of our biggest, wonderful Tide fans. You know what? What a wonderful young lady.
Well, she's
so welcome home, Mary.
Yep, she's hanging out there with Chase. Yep. Go ahead and give her the mic there, Chase. Let her say hello to Raggy Glory here. Say hello to Raggy Glory, Mary.
Hey there, how are you?
Well, it's been a week. I don't want to go into a lot of details, but I've been at DCH with Mama Sunshine Glory, broke her hip.
Oh, no.
And she's, but it's okay. Man, you know, it's a very divine week because prayers are answered. It's great. So all is well. Everything's going to be great. So, and here, let's carry this forward a little bit, y'all. I have no doubt we are actually going to beat Oklahoma. That, Gary, the fact that you're picking them and you picked Georgia to win, they beat us. Well, guess what? You're picking us to beat Oklahoma. And guess what? It's going to happen.
I hope so.
Because there's a family of pachyderms that are just going to go up there and take care of business.
Elephant stop.
Man, I'm telling you, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I just have this gut feeling because this is a new season. We're in the playoffs. And we get to go up there and, you know, extract a little bit of revenge. Going to get the monkey off our back. How do you say it? A sledgehammer dropped on ants? Well, no, you know, a monkey. So all I know is we're going to win. There it is there.
Well, I agree with you. Like I said, I usually don't let the cat out of the bag like this before I make my pick on Tider Insider TV. I'll wait and give my score prediction tonight, but I'm with you. I think Alabama's going to win the football game, Ragged Glory, and I think Alabama fans should be excited about this rematch and feel good about it. Yep. And, you know, and if you get
And I don't care whether we're hurt, we're banged up or whatnot. I mean, it all comes down to this. Let's go, guys. I've been there, done that, and I know what it's like to play hurt. So let's do it.
All right.
I mean, this is it.
Good to hear from you, Ragged Glory. Always a pleasure, my friend. And
you got it, brother.
Prayers for your mom, okay?
Roll, baby, roll.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's get to JR up in Wilmington, North Carolina. Hey, JR, what's going on?
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Hey, welcome. And well, hey, from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Beautiful area.
Absolutely.
Michael Jordan ever come hang out anymore?
You know, he does pop into town from time to time, from what I hear. That's what I hear.
But good.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. I love your
show, and I listen online. And but the one question that I had was, we talk about the adjustments that are being made, and I do believe that Ryan is a great offensive coordinator, and I'm a huge Kalen fan. So, but it seems like we're doing the same thing offensively today that we were doing. And of course, what do I know? But when I watch our backs, when I watch how the other team was responding, when I saw the Georgia game, Georgia was already in motion or moving in the direction that our guy was going to go before our guy even started going that way. And so to me, what it looked like was they knew exactly what we were going to call, or certainly understood what formation or what was going to come out of that formation. And so as a novice, I'm sitting there going, the slant is wide open. Why aren't we doing more RPOs with the short slant option? I just don't get it.
Well, you know what? I agree with you to some extent, JR. I have kind of said the same thing. I'm with you. I think Ryan Grubb is an excellent play caller. I do think that early in the season, you got to remember, he did not call the plays last year. He was with the Seattle Seahawks, and he came in, and I think you're right. I think there were some things that he did that, you know, weren't on video, and some of the little nuances, trick plays, if you will, and they were very effective. You know, the little bootleg screen that they clinched the game against Georgia on. And, you know, we got deeper in the season, and there was more stuff on video, and defenses started taking away some of those things. I'm with you 100%. And I think that to some degree, Alabama got bogged down a little bit offensively. And I think that the little gimmicks, while effective early, weren't as effective late in the season. And I think there was a little bit of just a slowdown in the sense that you couldn't just say, well, we're gonna dial up something here that they haven't seen, and we're gonna catch them off guard. I feel like the offense bogged down a little bit because there just wasn't continuity and consistency in the game plan. And like you said, I mean, there became a level of predictability. And I think that especially with the running game, you have to be committed to running the ball and willing to stick with it sometimes, even when it's not effective. And I think Alabama got away from that. And I think that put a lot of pressure on Ty Simpson. And then when they weren't able to run the ball, good defensive fronts were getting after them. And but you know what I'm hoping is kind of what you said, a reset button a little bit. You know, you got through the Georgia game, you've had extra time to prepare, and I think they're going to be better prepared. And I think the tendencies that you're referring to that defenses have picked up on, I think Alabama maybe is able to get away from some of that. And you mentioned Ryan Williams. He's the X factor. He's a guy, he's just too talented. You have to get him involved in the offense, even if it's just a hitch or a screen
a
or
pop pass.
Yeah.
Just a pop pass.
That's right.
Anything to get the ball in his hand.
That's right, because he's too talented and he's too much of a playmaker. If you don't use him, you're really limiting yourself on offense. And I'll tell you something else. I'd like to see, and maybe some of it is because Ty, you know, we're hearing things that he's not been full speed, but you've got to push the ball down the field some too. I mean, you can't let, I mean, I was at the SEC championship game, and there were a lot of times that Georgia had, you know, 11 guys within, you know, a few yards of the line of scrimmage. They just weren't
yards of the ball.
They weren't respecting Alabama's ability to go vertical in passing games. So I'm hopeful like you that they will make some adjustments. And I think Alabama's going to be ready to play. I think they're going to play a really good game and win the game.
I agree, and I hope that they will give Horton a chance to go up, because, like you said, I would put money on that young man on a one-on-one ball. So give him a chance to go up and do what he can do with that big frame of his, and we'll go from there. Hey, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha, JR. Good to hear from you up there in Wilmington, North Carolina, hometown of the GOAT, Michael Jordan. All right, we're going to take a break, 10:44. We're going to come back. We've got Ty Simpson audio available in the next segment, the Alabama quarterback. We'll take phone calls as well. And we've got some breaking news in recruiting. Alabama has signed a player out of the portal. Well, you say the portal's not open yet, but there are always loopholes, it seems like, these days. And Alabama is adding a tight end from Oklahoma State. I'll have the details on that coming up when we return to the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. By the way, lunch is right around the corner. Get by and see my friends at Rock and Roll Sushi, University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa. We're back after this.
Yeah.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after
8070 to book your appointment today. That's 205-343-8070. Located in the DCH Medical Tower. Live well, primary care. It's time.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
Save now at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Select styles. Offer ends December 24th. Some exclusions apply. See store Kohl's.com for details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky today, warmer this afternoon, the high 53. Tonight, fair with a low at 35. Tomorrow, partially sunny, the high 57. Thursday, cloudy with a good chance of showers during the day, the high Thursday at 62. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 41 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome to my Christmas song. I'd like to thank you for
one of my favorite Christmas songs right there. Step into Christmas. Good one. All right, some breaking recruiting news. Alabama has signed Oklahoma State transfer tight end Josh Ford, 6'6", 265 pounds. Played in 16 games for the Cowboys and caught 13 passes for 137 yards and two touchdowns during his career with the Cowboys. Now, you may be asking, how is he able to sign now? Well, there's so many loopholes now in all this stuff. I can't, you know, I've said before, I can't even really keep up with it all. But because of his decision to transfer back in October, he was available or allowed to transfer now. So this is according to various reports on all the recruiting sites. So even though the portal doesn't open until January 2nd, he had a one-month window open for Oklahoma State transfers to transfer because Mike Gundy got fired. That's what this goes back to, yeah. When Mike Gundy got fired, he entered his name in the portal back on October the 8th, which makes him eligible now. So this is, like you said, like I said, 6'6", big guy. Alabama has signed a lot of tight ends, but that's a, you know, that's part of their offense that they really like, and this guy's experienced. So nice pickup for Alabama. Also, this news, Justin Thomas, who, as we know, is a great player on the PGA Tour, has donated $1 million to the Crimson Standard to go toward the Alabama Men's and Women's Golf Facility, the beautiful facility they built here. So good news there. All right, we got a few minutes before the end of the show. Here's Ty Simpson, Alabama quarterback, meeting with the media yesterday ahead of the college football playoff first-round game against Oklahoma on Friday night.
From a health standpoint, a lot of people have been kind of wondering, you know, how are you feeling? Just how are you, especially after that game, the SEC championship game?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm excited. It's a great opportunity winning the college football playoff. Like, at this point in the season, like, I don't know a team who is, like, healthy at all. So, like, you know, fire me up. I'm ready to go.
All the way in the back, Trevor.
Ty, you've obviously played in a lot of high-pressure games, but it just keeps moving up and up and up. Curious what you do maybe leading up to a game to step away from football. What do you do to kind of calm down, relax, to take some of the pressure off of you in the lead-up to one like this?
Yeah, so in high school, right, like I kind of just did my own thing. It's kind of changed now in college. I listen to country music every time before a game. So, you know, whether it's Morgan Wallen, Riley Green, Luke Combs, gets me in a mode, right, feel back at home. But a game like this, right, whether it's like a pregame meal or in the hotel room, I'll watch Seinfeld. Just kind of, you know, gets me in a little, you know, in a happy mood, just, you know, sitcom, right, like stupid funny. So
let's go to Nick, front row right.
Yeah, looking back at the Georgia game, and or I should say the SEC championship game, and watching that film, what stands out about what you want to work on, what you want the offense to work on?
You know, certainly, right, like not our best performance. I think it goes back to just one, communication in general, right? You know, just one word calls in the huddle, or you know, on the line of scrimmage. Two, you know, the little details, whether it's in the routes, our footwork, my footwork, and honestly, right, just like doing our job. It goes back to almost every game that, you know, has come down to games like that, just doing our job, right? Like, it's nothing that they did that we didn't know that was coming, right? But it's all about, you know, what we did. And I've said that since, you know, day one, of just, you know, controlling what we can control, and we can control how we play, our attitude, and what we do, right? So that's, you know, basically what it is in this game as well, right? Like, you know, we've already played them once, but that doesn't mean anything. So I just got to control what we can control and go play.
Joe, right in the middle of the room.
First, who's your favorite Seinfeld character? And then more importantly, the team's been more successful on the road this year than it was last year. What have you noticed that maybe you guys have done differently, or have you done anything different, better on the road this season?
Yeah, so Kramer's my favorite Seinfeld character, right? But the little beef of Newman and Jerry, that gets me fired up. So anytime I get an episode like that, I know it's going to be a good day. But yeah, right, we kind of knew this season coming in, right, that, you know, on the road last year, like, it wasn't what we wanted. So we kind of took the badge of honor of being road warriors, and making sure that, like, you know, it's not going to be easy on the road, right? Whether it was Florida State, Georgia, South Carolina, anytime you play on the road, period, even in the SEC, like, it's going to be hard. So, you know, we take pride on doing stuff the hard way, just because we're Alabama, right? So anytime that we wear the white jerseys and go on the road, right, like, we know that we mean business, and, you know, it's going to be hard, and we embrace it.
Go to Michael, back row on the right.
Josh Cuevas, how important is he to the passing game?
Very important. I think everybody knows that Josh is an excellent player. So not only is he great in the pass game, but he's great in the run game as well. You know, being able to just, you know, see him on the field and have him, you know, have his presence is just remarkable, especially having in the huddle, right? Just a different type of, you know, vibe when he's in there. So I'm very excited about that.
Front row on the left, Colin.
Hey, Ty. You've prepared for playoff games now with Coach Saban and now with Coach DeBoer. What's similar? What's different about the atmosphere in this building?
Really nothing, to be quite honest with you, right? Because one, right, like, we're Alabama, we expect to be in the playoffs, and this isn't uncommon to us being in a primetime game like this in a big time environment. And then two, right, like, you just prepare like it's another game, you know what I mean? Like, you don't do anything differently. We know what's at stake for both teams, right? We kind of, you know, have taken it as, you know, this is it, right? Like, this is the last dance. You know, the 2025 team, like, how are we going to be remembered? Like, this is a new season. Like, it's 0-0. Everybody's 0-0 right now. You win, you advance. So, you know, those, I think, are very similar from Coach Saban and Coach DeBoer's point of view and perspective, just because, like, we expect to be here, and we know what's at stake, and we're built for it.
Emily Grace.
Hey, Ty. Coach DeBoer was talking about how practice on Saturday was really awesome. The energy is where it needs to be. What would you attribute that to? And from your perspective, how is this team preparing the right way?
One, right, like, just having a chance to just take a second and breathe was really important for the guys, right? Like we said, you know, anytime, you know, you play an SEC schedule, like, it's harder on your body, harder on your mind. So getting a couple of days off to just, like, you know, relax and have fun, play the video game, it is great. But two, right, just one, being back on the field and knowing your body feels a little bit healthier. We were at night, which is different because we're usually in the morning. So, like, playing under the lights, like, it just felt like high school. You know what I mean? Especially, you know, being out there with your guys that you love, like, you know, we're getting ready for a college football playoff game, guys. Like, you know, how awesome is that? You know what I mean? So, you know, any chance that we get to, you know, just take a second and realize, like, what we do for a living and how many people watch us and, you know, how we can just change people's point of view, right? Like, it's awesome. So, yes, sir. Great practice.
All right.
All right. Ty Simpson meeting with the media yesterday and had some good comments there ahead of the game against Oklahoma. Right, we're winding it down for this edition of the Gary Harris Show. Reminder, I'll be back in tomorrow morning, and we'll have our Larry the Music Man segment tomorrow morning at 10:30. Catch me on TV tonight with your local news and also on Tider Insider TV with Rodney Orr at 6:30 tonight on WVUA 23. That's when I make my score prediction for Alabama and Oklahoma. Want to thank Chase for his great work, and Mary from Atlanta in town this morning stopping by to visit with us. So have safe travels back to the ATL. We've got the Miller's Edge coming up next, and everybody have a great Tuesday. It's beautiful, still a little bit chilly, but gosh, it is so pretty outside. And I'll talk to you again in the morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show.